Shall we begin?
It's been 6 weeks since I was certified fit for active duty, and 3 weeks since I came back from Santa Cruz in business class with a bandage around my head. Bridget has had her little joke. I've suffered through about 2 weeks of seminars intended to bolt, padlock, and weld shut the stable door in the wake of the equine departure, and I'm slowly going out of my skull with boredom. For my sins, I've been posted to a pokey little office in the dancy wing of Service House, little more than a broom closet off a passageway under the eaves, roof wreathed in hissing steam pipes painted black for no obvious reason. There's a valuable antique that Services claims is a computer network server, and when I'm not nursing it from one nervous breakdown to the next, I'm expected to file endless amounts of paperwork and prepare a daily abstract based on several classified logs and digests that cross my desk. The abstract is forwarded to some senior executives, then shredded by a guy in a blue suit. In between, I'm expected to make the tea. I feel like a 26-year-old office boy. Overqualified, naturally. To add insult to injury, I have a new job title. Junior Private Secretary. I would, I think, be right out of my skull and halfway down the road by now, chased by men in white coats wielding oversized butterfly nets, were it not for the fact that the word secretary means something very different from its normal usage in the steamy little world of the laundry. You see, before the 1880s, a secretary was a gentleman's assistant, someone who kept the secrets, and there are secrets to be kept here in the Arcana Analysis section. In fact, there's a whole bloody wall of filing cabinets full of them right behind my cramped secretarial chair. Some wag has plastered a post-it note on one of the drawers. The truth is in here, somewhere. I'm learning things all the time, and apart from the bloody filing work, not to mention the coffee pot from hell and the network server from heck, it's mostly okay. Except for Angleton. Did I mention Angleton? I'm standing in for Angleton's junior private secretary, who's on sabbatical down at the funny farm or taking a year out doing an MBA or something, and therein lies my problem.
Mr. Howard!
That's Angleton, calling me into the inner sanctum. I stick my head round his door. Yes, boss?
Enter.
I enter. His office is large, but feels cramped. Every wall, it's windowless, is shelved floor to ceiling in ledgers. They're not books, but microfiche binders. Each of them contains as much data as an encyclopedia. His desk looks merely odd at first sight, an olive drab monolith bound with metal strips supporting the TV-sized hood of a fiche reader. It's only when you get close enough to it to see the organ-like pedals and the card hopper on top that, if you're into computational archaeology, you realize that Angleton's desk is an incredibly rare, antique Memex, an information appliance out of 1940s CIA folklore. Angleton looks up at me as I enter, his face a blue-lit washout of text projected from the Memex screen. He's nearly bald, his chin is two sizes too small for his skull, and his domed scalp gleams like bone.
"Ah, Howard," he says. "Did you find the material I requested?"
"Some of it, boss," I say. "Just a moment." I duck out into my office and pick up the hulking dusty tomes that I've carried up from the stacks, two basements and a 50-meter elevator ride below ground level. "Here you are. Wilberforce Tangent and Opal Orange." He takes the tomes without comment, opens the first of them, and starts sliding card index-sized chunks of microfilm into the Memex input hopper.
"That'll be all, Howard,"
he says superciliously, dismissing me. I grit my teeth and leave Angleton to his microfilm. I once made the mistake of asking why he uses such an antique. He stared at me as if I'd just waved a dead fish under his nose, then said,
"You can't read Van Eck radiation off a microfilm projector."
Van Eck radiation is the radio noise emitted by a video display. With sophisticated receivers, you can pick it up and eavesdrop on a computer from a distance. Back then, I hadn't learned to keep my mouth shut around him.
"Yeah, but what about tempest shielding?" I asked.
That's when he sent me off to the stacks for the first time, and I got lost for 2 hours on sub-level 3 before I was rescued by a passing vicar. I go into my outer office, pull out the file server's administration console, log on, and join the departmental X-Tank tournament. 15 minutes later, Angleton's bell dings. I put my game avatar on autopilot and look in on him. Angleton positively glowers at me over his spectacles.
"Check these files back into storage. Sign off, then come back here," he says. "We need to talk."
I take the tomes and back out of his office.
Gulp. He's noticed me. Whatever next?
The elevator down to the stacks is about to depart when I stick my foot in the door, holding it. Someone with a whole document trolley has got her back to me.
"Thanks,"
I say, turning to punch in my floor as the door closes and we begin our creaky descent into the chalk foundations of London.
"No bother."
I look round and see Dominique with a doctorate from Miskatonic. Mo, whom I last saw stranded in America, phoning me for help on a dark night. She looks surprised to see me.
"Hey, what are you doing here?"
"It's a long story, but to cut it short, I was shipped home after you phoned me. Seems those goons who were watching you picked me up."
"What about you? I thought you were having trouble getting an exit visa."
"Are you kidding?"
She laughs, but doesn't sound very amused.
"I was kidnapped, and when they rescued me, I was deported. And when I got back here..."
Her eyes narrow. The lift doors open on sub-basement 2. "You were conscripted," I say, sticking my heel in the path of one door.
"Right? If you had anything to do with it..."
I shake my head. "I'm in more or less the same boat, believe it or not. It's how about 2/3 of us end up here."
"Look, my Obergruppenführer will send his SS hellhounds after me if I'm not back in his office in 10 minutes, but if you've got a free lunchtime or evening, I could fill you in."
Her eyes narrow some more.
"I'll bet you'd like that."
Ouch.
"Have some good excuses ready, Bob,"
she says, rolling her file cart toward me. I notice absently that it's full of Proceedings of the Scottish Society of Esoteric Antiquaries from the 19th century as I dodge out of the lift. "No excuses, I promise. Only the truth."
"Ha!"
Her smile is unexpected and enigmatic.